Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree. Stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House. Your Saturday morning tradition since 1988. Second Saturday of the month, so that means we are talking trees. And to do that, we've got ISA certified arborist Sarah Maitland in studio with us from Save a Tree, along with Gary Peterson from Save a Tree. And y'all also have a special guest, Laura Hackett, returning from Liberty Wildlife. And we have no shortage of topics today, but that doesn't mean you can't participate. If you'd like to talk about your trees, you can call in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to snap a picture and send it. If there's a tree that you like and you're trying to figure out what it is to so you can plant one at your home, or a little insect identification, you can send an image to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And y'all always bring a topic of the month, but you also bring a tree of the month. And let's start with the tree because it's a beautiful one.
Oh my gosh, it is beautiful. So we're going to talk about the Chinese evergreen pear. And it's a really pretty, glossy-leaved, large-leaved, ornamental type of a tree. It's called Pyrus kawakamii. And the fun thing about the website that we tell you guys to go to, the ASU plant list, there is actually a link that will tell you how to pronounce the genus and species of all the trees. So that's important. It's helpful. Anyway, this is a beautiful tree, and it's kind of a medium-sized tree, but it's more of a fufu tree, or it's an ornamental tree. So it's something they're going to have to take care of, but it's special. In the winter right now, I think down around Arcadia and a lot of the areas in central Phoenix, you'll see a beautiful white flowering tree. And that's the flowering pear, or the Chinese evergreen pear. And so it stays green most of the year, and then you'll get a little bit of a red-yellow fall color, and then it starts to get ratty, and then all of a sudden it bursts out with new leaves and beautiful white flowers. Almost kind of like, you know, Washington, D.C., the cherry blossom. That's kind of what you get.
And how big will these trees get?
Okay, they get about 20 or 30 feet at maximum, and they have a real kind of a asymmetrical look to them, so they kind of work in those Japanese-Chinese gardens. But it really needs a little bit of shade, not so much shade, but protection from that late afternoon sun. And this is the kind of a tree where you would want to put it in a lawn or around other trees so it's got that humidity and that shade and that that kind of an environment.
A little microclimate around it.
Yeah, definitely. But won't fit in a gravel landscape very well. It'll really, really struggle. It does not like the heat. But it does do well in a lot of estates and landscapes.
Now, one thing I've said, and I'm embarrassed I haven't done it yet, is work hard enough ahead of the talking trees topic to have a map on our plant tree, because when we have the tree of the month, we always, like you said, we take the content from ASU and we share it on our website and the details about the tree and the species, but have a map on there. Here's the public places you can go see this tree out planted somewhere so you can get an idea. You can see the microclimates that it's thriving in. You can see if it's something that you want to bring into your home or yard. But I do know there's a couple of these at the Arrowhead Country Club off of the dining room area. It's like a half circle patio, and off to the west side there's a few, and it's under, you know, it's shaded by this huge ficus tree. It's actually a couple ficus trees, so it doesn't get sun till well afternoon, and it's surrounded by a lawn, so it's constantly getting watered. So it's a very, but I mean, in the spring it is, like you said, just, I mean, you just stand there and look at it.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. And what I did was I called a couple of our arborists and said, you know, where can I tell the listeners to go look at them? And they said, just drive through Arcadia. Everybody's got beautiful pears. But what you want to watch about this tree is that it really has a problem with iron, and it's because of our alkaline soils. So what you need to do, and what we incorporate in our fertilization, is a pH reducer, a citrus pH reducer. So that's what makes the nutrient or the micronutrients available to the tree. And you might even give them a little bit of extra micronutrient, but it's the pH of the soil that you have to control. And you can put the pH reducer in, but then the water still has high alkaline. So you have to, it's a program. This is a tree you have to care for, but it's worth it. It's just beautiful when it blooms.
That's the evergreen?
Chinese evergreen elm.
Chinese evergreen elm. And your scientific name one more time?
Pyrus kawakamii.
Say that
something,
three times.
And it's something you'll never need to know.
Yeah, it's Pyrus kawakamii. There's a couple of different pears in the valley, but this one is really especially beautiful. We do have a little trouble with fire blight with it, and that's just because it needs that moist, humid environment and the irrigated areas with the lawns, you're going to have that more humidity, and that's where you get a little bit of fire blight, but not a lot.
Very good. Well, in addition to the tree of the month, we always have a talking trees to do. But before we get to tree pruning, why don't you introduce your guest, because she's going to talk you out of pruning trees.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Laura was here in August, and we're having her back because it's a really important time for trees and protecting birds. And Laura Hackett is here from Liberty Wildlife.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. This is a very important time of year for us because we are in these last quiet bit before all the babies start coming.
For somebody that's not familiar with the organization.
I am with Liberty Wildlife, and we are a nonprofit wildlife rescue and rehabilitation and education center located by 24th Street and Broadway, just south of Sky Harbor Airport. And we've got a facility where we have a hospital to take care of sick, injured, and orphaned native wildlife and hopefully rehabilitate them and get them back out into the wild. We have a lovely facility there that people can come and take a look into our windows to see how our hospital works and then also meet some of the non-releasable birds that we have and other animals. It's not just birds that we have there, but we're mostly known for birds. And our hospital gets very busy starting soon.
And that's because?
We have babies coming soon. So baby season is upon us, and anybody who talks trees or walks around the valley around here is going to start seeing and hearing birds all over the place. They are waking us up as soon as the sun is popping up now, and they're building nests, and we should be seeing some of our first hatchlings, hummingbirds, great horned owls. Those are some of our first babies that we start having come in, and then once that starts, then everything starts coming in, and not just the baby birds, but also baby bunnies. All the mammals start having their babies soon. So we get really, really busy with orphaned animals that have, lost their way from their parents somehow.
And then when y'all get one of these animals, your goal isn't to keep it. It's to build it strong enough to be re-released.
We want to get everything back out into the wild. So we have fabulous volunteers that are trained to care for all of them, to make sure that they grow up strong, get the right nutrients, and then that's part of the joy of volunteering with Liberty Wildlife is they get to be part of the release then and get them back out into the wild, which is obviously the main aim. Our orphan care volunteers, it's a seasonal position. It'll be starting up soon, and we'll be training them on all the baby bird identification and learning what they eat. They spend about four-hour shifts where they start, open one little bin with baby birds, and the birds start chirping at them, and they feed those ones, close the bin, and go down the aisle to the next couple bins, and by the time they get to that row, those first ones are hungry again because baby birds eat every 20 minutes.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty fun. Hard. And it's pretty important to take wildlife into effect when you're doing your pruning also, because the inner shade of the tree, a lot of people like to strip out their trees. That inner canopy, that little shade, is what really protects them from the sun when they're very young. And even the adults protect them, their own babies, if they are exposed. And so when you're working around trees, you got to be really careful to be respectful of that. There's a lot of times we just won't even cut a branch. And I had a gentleman's, name on my sticker on my monitor for about 4 months because I had to wait till I was back in that area and the birds were gone. And then we went back and got that one branch.
That's great. We love when we hear stories like that because it's very, very rare that people realize that there's a nest right there and they think they have to trim right away. And unfortunately, then the bird gets displaced and can't grow up in the wild.
I have a story about that. A wood dove. I was trimming my tree and I wasn't even looking up. As I started to trim, flies away right in my face. I'm like, okay, fine. I come back, do it again, comes back. And it took me two tries to figure out, there must be a nest up there, and sure enough, it was. But what I was really impressed with, from the time she had eggs in the nest to Easter time, 4 to 6 weeks, those birds were already ready to go.
Yeah, that's the nice thing, is that they mature really quickly, they grow really quickly, and they fly the coop really quickly. So if you can hold off, which is what we ask people to do, that's the best for the birds, and then you can trim as soon as they leave. And then if you don't want them, just keep an eye on those trees and knock down nests as soon as you start seeing the birds building,
before the babies come.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about pruning deciduous trees, because right now they're not putting their nests in anything that hasn't any foliage. I've got my mulberries, my pistache, my ash trees. They're all, the ash trees, you're starting to see the blooms starting to come out a little bit, but there's obviously no nest in there. It doesn't have the protection that they need. So now is a great time to do that, and we'll talk about how to do that. But one thing I wanted you to share that you mentioned before we went on air was about palm trees and owls. I would not have put those two together.
And most people don't. Most people don't realize that, especially barn owls, but we've gotten great horned owls too, love using that upper skirt of the palm tree for their nests. Owls, for the most part, don't really build a nest like the smaller birds do, where you can actually see a twig nest. They just usually find a location where they can drop their eggs, and that palm tree is a perfect location. It's got covering, it's got protection from anything else around, and so a lot of babies that we get come from people that are trimming the palm trees, and they're cutting all the skirts off and everything like that, and the babies fall to the ground and either get injured or you can't get back up and there's no place for them to sit, and so they come into Liberty Wildlife.
We're talking trees. Join us 1-888-767-4348.